Hi, I'm Favi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like
Tacos El Gordo.
What else? Hello, hello, hello.
Kisho, kisho, kisho.
Tacos El Gordo is right.
No mames,
güey. Dude, every time I go there, I eat so much. I'm like, sí, los de tripa, los de lengua. You know what? Deme seis del pastor también. Like,
yeah. I got in there thinking, dos al pastor, uno de asada, y párale de contar. But bitch.
Oh my God. And today on Latinos Who Lunch, we have a very special guest.
Pero very, very special.
Who just ate a lot of tacos with us.
Yes.
The one and only Rudy. How hey. Are you?
I am good. Hanging out in Vegas.
Hanging out in Las Vegas. What brings you to Vegas?
Mariah Carey.
Of course. You're a lamb.
No, I'm not. I just, no. I, like, Mariah Carey is one of the few, like, pop people that I do obsess over.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, first album, I made my dad drive me to Target in East LA so I could buy the Mariah Carey VHS tape from the first album. And it was, all the videos. And I would watch it over and over.
And were you out then?
I think he was done after that trip.
I mean, dad's like, ooh, ¿cómo le gusta la Mariah?
I was 12, I think.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. You were little.
I mean, yeah, sort of. Yeah, I remember. See,
sí. You're so disgusting.
Yeah, I remember around that same time, I told one of my best friends that I knew since I was 4 that I liked boys, and she started crying.
Desde los cuatro?
She thought you guys were going to have...
My mom thought we were going to get married, yeah. I think, too, everyone. But pero damn, ya ni hablamos.
That Mariah VHS really changed you.
It did. That like, bodycon black dress and vision of love.
It formed her identity.
Yes.
You were shooketh after that.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So, I've never seen Mariah... And, I just thought, how funny and absurd would it be to go see Mariah in Vegas? And I was going to do it last year for my birthday, pero andaba de novio con alguien. And then ooh. I was like, and I canceled my birthday in Vegas because she was in love. And then this year I was like, no, I'm going to see Mariah.
Yes. And I'm coming with you.
Yes, I'm so excited.
Wait. I cannot wait. What I love about Mariah is just she knows she's the shit. And just that
she doesn't even try anymore.
She doesn't even try.
I know. That's what people are like, you're going to go see. She's not even going to sing. I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to watch her walk back and forth on that
exactly.
stage.
Exactly.
I'm going to like.
She's just going to be carried around by yes. buff dancers. Yes. And that's it. Is Tanaka going to be there? I hope so. The boyfriend.
Right.
The Asian boyfriend.
¿Cómo se llama?
Tanaka. I think. I just made that up and I'm racist.
Hijo
I don't
de
know.
La chingada, cuidado.
On her reality show, remember?
No me acuerdo, güey.
Oh my God. But my friend works at the Dolphin Habitat at the Mirage.
Oh, that's right.
And she went to visit the dolphins with her kids when she first started her residency at Caesars.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, bitch, tell me everything. Give me all the details. She just said, all you need to know is that she walked in with a custom wetsuit with pink stripes on it, wearing heels.
Oh my God.
Into the dolphin pool. And they were like, ma'am, you can't go in the pool with heels on. And she was like, okay, I'm just going to... They're like, no, you need to take your heels off. You're going to poke a dolphin's eye out.
Qué intrépida.
I know, but I was like, well, what's she like? And my friend was like, I can't deny it. She was almost magical. She was just floating. Like, she just has this presence about her, you know?
Yeah.
And that's important. Because people talk shit. We talk shit all the time, but we have to support our Latina pop stars.
Uh-huh. Especially Maria.
Maria Carey.
La Maria Carey.
Yeah.
Yes.
But so now that you're here, we finally have you in the podcast. We've been talking to you for what? 3-4 months?
Something like
it's
that.
It's been a while.
I mean, I've been listening to you guys for more than that, but
oh my God.
Let's talk about that. Yeah, talk about us. How do you hear about the podcast first?
No me acuerdo, de veras I was I avoided podcasts for so long.
Mm-hmm.
I just I don't know how people listen to podcasts. I have too many things to do. When do you have time?
Yeah.
And then I started listening to The Read.
Oh, yes.
On my way to work and on my way home. And I just like loved it. And like, and then I kind of just started investigating and I, you know, listened to Ruse, What's the Tea. Mm-hmm. And then everybody kept telling me to listen to Making a Murder or whatever, or not Making
Cereal.
A Murder. No. La Otra. The girls that are obsessed with murders. You know, my
problem. Oh, yeah.
And I would listen to it de vez en cuando. My favorite murder.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I would listen to it de vez en cuando. And then I honestly was like, where are all the Latino podcasts?
Mm-hmm.
And
we were all thinking the same thing at the same time.
Yeah.
Girl.
And then I think I just did some search. And then I remember like looking at it and being like, oh, I'll get to this. And I think it was when Juan Fernandez, when you guys did the Juan Gabriel thing.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And
shout out to Juan.
Yeah. And he posted something. And I was like, oh, that's that podcast that I wanted to check out. And so then I literally went and started from the beginning because I'm a Virgo and I'm like a completist. And like, I was like, I have to, you know, because maybe they're amazing now, but I'm sure at the start it was like horrible. No, I'm just kidding.
It was.
No, it wasn't bad.
You
I mean, I
was chewing in the microphone.
I see, pero that's a different, you know, like the topics were good. And okay. Like, I just kept telling people like, you have to listen to this. Or like, even if you don't like podcasts, listen to the Frida episode because they dissect that shit and it's so amazing. And I just kind of was like really into it. And yeah, and then when we were doing DragCon, we were looking for moderators and, you know, I was trying to get a little more political in the panels. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I wonder if these guys will come out.
So before we get into DragCon, tell everybody, what do you do? Who do you work for? Introduce yourself, because we've been talking for 10 minutes and a lot of people still don't know.
Well, yeah. So everyone knows me as Rudy Blue in LA. I've been writing like punk zines about being like Chicano and fat and queer since I was like a teenager. And I played in bands and Shizu Saldamando, I don't know if you guys know her, she's the artist. She recently was like, you're a social curator. That's what you are. She's like, you always make sure the right people know each other and like, you know, introduce people to like who they should be working with and create spaces. And so like, I've been creating like parties in LA and events and stuff since my late teens. And then I was part of an art collective called Maricon Collective. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and then right now I still do zines. They're more personal and stuff, mm-hmm. but I'm working on an archiving project. Soon more details will come. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just like, tengo la mano en todo and like, you know, LA, you know, like.
La mano pasiona.
Yeah. Like I just try to, like with like Joey Terrell, who did Homeboy Beautiful, like we reissued his zine back a few years back. And I just felt like it was important to have his work be seen by a new audience. And he's really important in queer Chicano culture, you know? And so I think that that's kind of what I do in LA. It's just like, I create spaces. I try to get the right people to work together. And
the zine culture is very important because I don't know, since 60s, 70s, a lot of art movements and especially music movements are organized around this culture, the idea of zines. And what I see that you're doing is you're combining both that and social media.
Yeah.
And I think that's something very important.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's the thing. Like now with social media, like all the young artists and people who are creating are very tech savvy and using it to like promote their stuff and mm-hmm. network. And I'm kind of like the grandpa with that kind of stuff. Like I can
put
I can put a picture up, but don't ask me to make a little video. Or anything.
Yeah. You're Pabellito, right?
Yeah, Fabi's looking at me like,
Yeah, because I don't know. I mean, I bought a computer like a month ago. I had been waiting to buy a new computer forever. Uh-huh. Todavía está en la caja. Oh.
No la usas?
I haven't yet because it's that thing when you buy yourself something nice, you wait a while before you use it because you don't want to break
the plastic
it.
Yeah. Really slowly.
It's true. I have a camera like that.
Yeah, and
I don't know where it is.
And it's because also right now that I'm working a day job, like I'm on a computer all day, so when I get home, I don't want to get back on a computer. Mm-hmm. But I need to, because a lot of the work that I'm going to be doing in the fall, I need to start prepping all that stuff, you know, like my own. And then like when it comes to like stuff for Scum and flyers and things, but I also do like cut and paste.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah, tienes la mano en todos lados.
Watch out over there.
Stupid.
But you have a long history in LA, and I kind of want to get into that, because mm-hmm. I know your parents... came from Mexico.
Sí.
And you're first generation. And I know you were talking a little bit. You're the youngest out of seven brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
What part of LA did you grow up in?
I grew up in East LA, East LA proper, because now in LA, se dice East LA, people try to be like, oh, Silver Lake or Los Feliz. No, and it's no, girl.
No mames, way.
Yeah. East LA is a real city next to Boyle Heights and Monterey Park, you know, in between. But yeah, that's where I grew up. And in the summers, we'd go back to Zacatecas and kind of spend the whole summer there with my grandparents and other family. Like my tías and tíos from Chicago would come, or from Texas or wherever. And everyone would just congregate at my grandparents' house. Like there was like no shower. Los bañamos en las tinas, where you put like beer, you know, for parties nowadays.
Yeah.
De veras. Like it was like you'd go in and then they're like, next, you know. Yeah. El que sigue.
Oh my
gosh. Yeah. But yeah. I'm from East LA.
How did you? Oh, you want to ask a question?
Sorry. Yeah, I. You because we were when
the
we
carne
were
the al pastor juice is like flowing through my veins right now.
I was gonna ask you because you were talking about your family cooking. So tell me a little bit more about your parents. What did they did in LA and how did this folk culture came to be with your family?
Yeah, so my parents when we were kids, like my dad worked as a construction worker and my mom, she worked odd jobs up until I got to preschool. Uh-huh. And when I was in preschool, they needed a cook at the preschool, and my mom took the job as like the lady who was doing it was going on vacation or something.
Yeah.
Y cuando regresó ya no tenía trabajo, se lo dieron a mi mamá.
Pobre la mujer.
Yeah, but, don't take vacations. This is America, okay?
But but aside from that, my parents were always like, during Christmas, hacían tamales for like the world and more. And my dad's friends, you know, the owner of the construction company would buy tamales for my mom and the neighborhood. Entonces, would
tu
order.
Mamá es la señora de los tamales.
Sí, yes, yes.
That's awesome.
And then they would make birria for weddings. And then on Saturdays and Sundays, they would do chicharrones and carnitas. And people would come to our yard. And my dad had a little scale. He'd put it in the brown paper bag, you know.
You were blessed.
Por eso bien gordo también.
And you're the baby, right?
Yes,
so they gave you all the food.
Yeah. And on summer, my mom used to make like jugos naturales to make raspadas. Mm-hmm. And then my sisters, my dad would go buy the block of ice. And then we would
afuera share. De las escuelas. Yeah.
Wow.
So, that's awesome.
So, yeah.
That's so good.
That's awesome.
But like what I took from all that is like if you work really hard, shit pays off. And like I was the youngest in my family, so I was also like a punk from like 6th, 7th grade. Like I wanted to dress all crazy and, you know, I listened to music that like my parents hated and everyone, and my parents never understood me. And so growing up, I had a really distant relationship with my family because they just didn't get me. And I also like, there was this resentment of like, I was the last child. I had the most opportunity. Yeah. So I had to go to college, become a lawyer or a doctor. Yeah, exactly. And
qué desgracia.
And I just was like, fuck that. That's not me, you know? And they just didn't understand me, you know, like I played in bands or I was DJing clubs and I would leave my mom's house and my dad would be like, ¿y mijo, te pagan? You know, like, why are you doing this?
Yeah, they're
you know?
Worried.
Yeah. And, but I was always just like working really hard. I mean, I dropped out of college after the first year. I was like, this is not for me.
And I think we can all relate to that because as an art historian, I don't think my parents too, I mean, they understand and they always support me, but right. I think it took a while just like, so what, you study what people make? Like, it didn't make sense. And I think it was till later when my parents started coming to my conferences where things started to make sense. But I think the professions that we chose in terms of culture makers or art makers, it's something that it's not as common. So it's almost like we have to convince our families of what we do.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a long time. I don't know. Like, my family honestly didn't really come around until I was in my first long-term relationship. Mm. They were like, oh, well, at least she has something going in her life. You know, she can keep a man. You know, like,
wow.
No, like, for real. Like, I didn't really talk to a lot of my siblings until about then. And then things just kind of started changing with them. And I have a wonderful relationship with my family. I love them all. And they really support all the stuff that I do. But my parents still don't really understand what I do. Like, you know,
think,
like,
yeah. I mean, I don't think my parents will ever know. Like, I mean, I'm an artist. What does that mean? They don't. It doesn't. I don't think it'll ever register.
Because there's just like a sense of cult of the culture of work. That's where we all come from. Like your family, Favi, you always talk about how much they work, and your mom. The same thing with you, Rudy, and my dad too. He's a construction worker. So the idea of going to a coffee shop every day to write is like, eso no es trabajo.
Qué lujo.
Ajá, qué privilegio.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, whenever I work freelance, pero cuando no estoy trabajando. No le digo a mi mamá because then she gets worried, you know? She's like, ¿y qué estás haciendo todo el día, mijo? Yeah, and then, you know, and it's just like also like they're like, you know, are you sure you can pay your bills? And it's like, I haven't asked you. No te ha pedido dinero desde, you know, I was like in my early 20s or something, you know? Like, and they're just like, you know, my mom, every single time I leave, she always tells me, si ganas un dólar, 25 centavos los pones en el banco. You know, like, nunca vas a saber. And I'm just like, Mom, calm down.
I got this.
Yeah.
Well, it's better than 25 cents going to the church. That would be tricky.
I'm sure she wishes that I would do that too. But.
Damn, 10 cents goes to the church.
I know when in my first paycheck, my mom was like, acuérdese que el primer cheque siempre va a la iglesia. Yo, no, girl, I'm going to go buy beer. And,
I never heard that.
Yeah, and that's what I grew up with. Like, your first paycheck, the whole thing always goes to the church. Your very first paycheck.
That's hardcore.
mi primer cheque was a $77. I spent that in like 3 days or two.
I was going to say three.
Wow, you had. That was a lot of money then.
It was the 90s, okay?
Okay, whatever.
But you know what's important too is the sense of community that your family instill in you, because that's what you're doing. You're creating communities within LA.
Yeah, no, I love like being around people. Like, I love just gathering with friends, you know, that's like my favorite thing. And I think it's because it reminds me of being with my family. And a lot of friends of mine who don't have a big family like I do are always just like, dang, you spend so much time with your family. And I'm like, but like, I don't know, like,
doesn't
why not
everybody?
Yeah, like, you know, I love it, you know.
Yeah, and not everybody does.
Los blanquitos, no.
I know.
No les gusta, salen corriendo.
Well, but anyway.
Este cabrón está tan lleno que se está quedando dormido.
Listen, I was in Miami. I haven't eaten tacos in so long. It was so beautiful. And I was like, fuck it. I'm going to get everything I want today.
I mean, pues yo también. I was like, oh, I'm going to get like 3 tacos. And then I come with a tray, you know, like.
Oh my God, estaba llena la mesa. It was
delicious. Yo me comí 4, 2 del pastor, 2 de lengua y una momia. ¿O cómo se llaman?
Mula.
Momia. What the fuck is on your mind?
No, la momia is those hot dogs wrapped in in bacon. That's
very Sonora. Yes. Very nice. So let's fast forward. Let's go to, I want to learn a little bit about your events that you're doing now called Scum, right?
Yeah.
Describe those a little bit, because the last one you did, I saw there was drag queens.
Yes.
There was live performances.
Yes. Yeah. So Scum started with a friend of mine, Ray. He has an Instagram called Noche de Jotear. And he did a zine, and Ray had found me on the internet, like my past or whatever. And he DM'd me on Instagram and was like, hey, can I send you my zine? I really want to know what you think of it. And I was just like, sure. And then I gave him my address. He sent it to me and I got it. And I was like, oh my God, this is so amazing. It was like a cross of punk and East LA backyard tea parties. I don't know if you guys know what tea parties are.
No.
So like in East LA, South LA, San Gabriel, like gay backyard parties in the 90s. I don't know. I think it goes way back. But for me, it was in the 90s. They would call them tea parties. And so basically every type of like Latino gay, like the cholitos, the queens, the like, you know, thinned out eyebrows, the punk ones. And it's like in someone's backyard and everyone's getting drunk as hell. And there was always a fight. And, you know, like.
Pero like, ¿por qué tea parties?
No sé. I guess because you would gather to spill the tea or something.
Or
no
the
sé.
Bagging.
Or the tea bagging.
Right.
Pero,
the truth.
So it was kind of, he had photos documenting like when he was part of that scene as well. And I was like, who is this kid? Like, how come I don't know him? Like, I should know him. He's from East LA and he likes the same things. And, but then at the same time, I was like trying to like step away from like a lot of stuff. So I didn't send him, I didn't reply for a minute. And Ray will tell you that he was like, bitch, like, what the fuck?
I've been waiting.
Like,
yeah. Who does she think she is?
Yeah. And then he wrote to me again and was like, hey, just wanted to follow up and see what you thought. And so then I replied and I was like, you know, we should hang out. So we hung out. And so he lives in East LA, and there's a bar called Chico, which is on the border of East LA and Montebello. Mm-hmm. And it opened like 17 years ago, algo así. It's like in a mini mall. When it first opened, it was like popping and like all, you know, everyone's going, and they had the night called Cockfight, and you know, and it's like all this, they had all these go-go boys with things swinging around, and, you know, various candalo. And you know, I would go, pero I was just kind of like, I don't really like the music. It was top 40 music, you know, pop hits, whatever. And so I would go here and there just because it was a bar in the neighborhood. Yeah. And kind of Ray had the same experience. And we had both were like, imagine if there was like some crazy like punk night here. And I was, and he's like, you know, I asked them once and they were like, yeah, yeah, like send us an email. And he's like, and they never replied. And I had been asked to DJ this party there called Cha-Cha, which was like freestyle music and shit. And it was fun, pero I was just kind of like, So the manager was in the booth one day and I was just like, hey, Alex, I want to try this party here. And he was like, I don't know if people will come, you know. And I was like, yeah, you know, like Morrissey, Depeche Mode. Like I sold it as a very like safe.
Like safe, yeah.
Yeah, like new wave, like, you know. So finally, he's like, okay, do it. So Ray and I got together and Scum was born. And it's been a year and a half now. And it's a monthly gathering. And it's like 99% like Chicanx punk kids, queer. And we have drag, performance art. Our girls are crazy.
I've like amazing.
Like we almost got in trouble once because we had a girl who gave herself a chocolate Hershey enema and then put strawberries in her butt and tried to feed them to people.
Oh wow.
Dios mío. A whole nother level.
You know what? We didn't get dessert.
But the cool thing is that we've got to like provide a platform for a lot of performers that don't really get that space in LA or in queer spaces, you know. And we have girls doing like Gloria Trevi and like girls doing you know, just like also just like a lot of numbers that queens don't normally do in bars or spaces like that. And we get to play, like, we play punk music, but también we play, like, you know, like Alaska and Hombres G. And,
you know, I was driving from Albuquerque yesterday and I kept having these fantasies about going to see a drag show or myself in drag, which I don't have the balls to do it, of Mecano.
Yes.
Like, that's what I want to see.
Yes.
I will go crazy.
No, that's exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, we play, you know, and then, I'll, you know, whatever, like 80s shit and like kind of electronic, dark electronic music. And our go-go boys aren't the standard type of go-go boys.
Good. That's important.
You know, they're more like theatrical. We got a new one, is Bien Nalgón, but that's why we got him. But, you know.
Absolutely.
Como la flor.
Como la flor.
But yeah, I don't know. It's crazy. It's packed every month. We've got to work with a lot of amazing artists. We've had a lot of really fun guest DJs, and a lot of times the guest DJs aren't DJs, but they're like people we really love and respect, and we know they have good taste in music. So we're like, we'll teach you, like, just show up early, like,
oh,
DJ Dr. Babalito on the ones and twos.
Ya le pregunté.
You would be great.
I'm going to think about it. It's a lot of responsibility. I will be like, oh my God, I will be stressed about the playlist. Yeah,
just like a 30-minute, an hour set.
And you start, so you do an early one and then you get comfortable. And then you do the later one. Ya cuando están todos drunk and then people dance to everything.
Yeah.
They dance to nothing.
Just play some cumbias, you'll be fine.
That's but true. We've also had like a lot of artists who come to the party that we really love and who support us. And we had this collective called Neta who just did like a tribute zine that was like, I wanted to cry because it was like basically a document of the last year and a half. It had three different photographers, like all the flyers. It was like really beautiful. I was just like, awesome. What the fuck? And then I was like, wow, this party looks really awesome.
And it's my baby.
Yeah.
Oh,
but you know, and we have a wish list of people we want to work with and
Tell us who, so maybe they're listening right now. Yeah.
Well, we were trying to get Vaginal Davis to come when she was in LA, and she was like, I really want to, and I love you, but I leave the next day. And then Alice Bag was like, you'll love it, Vag. Like, it's like, and she's like, I know, I love Chico, and I'm sure it's like crazy, but I don't know. I'm still trying to, like, I'm like, next time you're in LA, try to make it happen. You know, Downtown Boys to come.
Yes.
I mean, I wish Javier Amena was like here the week after, because I think she would
die. That
would
be perfect. You know, like, oh my God, I love Javier.
And like, Rafa Esparza comes all the time, but I want him to perform there.
I'll do an actual performance piece there.
And we had Dorian Wood perform for my birthday last year. He andaba chillando on the back because she covered All Is Full of Love by Bjork with just an accordion.
Oh, and I was my like, God. That and sounds awesome.
Sancha performs a lot, which I love, and we love having her. And yeah, I don't know. It's just great.
That's so cool. So this is what you love to do. So what's your day job?
My day job is I produce RuPaul's Drag Con for
What's
World
that?
Of Wonder.
Never heard of it.
Ru what?
Yeah.
How do you land that gig?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a crazy job.
I know.
You're like crying right now.
Well, when I turned 30, I needed an adult job because I was like, I'm going to die. I need health insurance.
Y tu mamá estaba preocupada.
Yes. And I ended up getting a job at World of Wonder as a receptionist. And, you know, just like my parents taught me, I worked really hard and I ended up being a production coordinator. And I did a lot of their development shows. And then I did a Vogue documentary with them for HBO. And then I was like, I don't want to do TV. I'm like, fuck this. And so I quit.
Adios.
I was like, bye. And I spent 2 years just kind of doing a lot of different types of work. And then one day I got a text and they were like, are you available for work? And I was like, for what? And they were like, for a production coordinator. And I was like, no. And then they, and then she was like, I think you'll really want to do this. Like, are you available to talk? And then she called and she told me what it was. And they were trying this new thing called RuPaul's Drag Con. And she was like, I know you have experience with like making like merch and doing this and that and events. And my first gut reaction was like, I can't do this.
This is too much.
Like, I don't know how to do this. And then my other reaction was like, no, fuck this. Like, who gets these things handed to them?
That's a huge opportunity. Yeah.
Yeah. So I did it. And I mean, year three was this year. And now we're going to New York in the fall.
Oh my gosh. Two drag cons in 1 year.
I know.
How do you do it?
Yeah. Like, how long does it take you to put like the LA one, this last one? How, like, when do you start prepping?
Well, World of Wonder, even when I'm not in the office, they're working on it. Yeah. But for LA, I started October of last year.
Cabrón. Wow. You're going to be a producer for Latinx Podcast Festival.
Soon.
Someday.
So what goes into that? Like, okay, because I know that you contacted us to be part of the panel. One of the panels, The Art of Resistance this year.
Right.
Amazing and incredible experience. Thank you for that.
This queen was upstairs and he was yelling from upstairs he comes
when
running.
I was on the phone with you, I was like, yeah, absolutely, sure. And I was like, damn.
But when we for the email, he's like, Emmanuel, open your email. It was crazy.
It was so exciting.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, the first year was a lot of like, my hands are in everything, you know, and we have a great team that I work with. Shout out to Danielle and Marine. They're really amazing. But a lot of the reason why they wanted me there was because they wanted someone who was creative and, like, knew the brand and could, like, think outside the box and stuff. So I programmed the panels. You know, I come up with ideas and then I pitch them to, you know, everyone at WOW and they either say yay or nay. And the years before, we've done like political stuff here and there, but we really wanted to amp that up. And you know, I always try to think of people who are doing stuff who might be under the radar for some people. But I mean, even when you guys posted, you guys were going to DragCon, I saw comments from your fans being like, I'm going to be there too. Oh my God, you know?
Yeah.
And so like, I always think of that, like the crossover, you know? And even like having Phoebe Robinson, you know, like she's a Drag Race fan, but also like is really articulate and smart and her book's amazing and Two Dope Queens. And it's just exciting for me to be able to like suggest, you know, these people, to be on panels and have the permission to like invite people, you know. I remember sitting at my desk being like, I wonder if they would do it, like you guys. And then I talked to my friend Marin, who works with me and is also a friend outside of work. Shout out Chicas Roqueras. But
Chicas Roqueras, shout out
Southeast LA.
On our website.
Yeah. But I was like, what do you think if I invite the boys from Latinos to Lunch? She's like, fool, try it, let's see what happens. And I was like, all right. And then I remember I emailed you, and you emailed me like that night or something. Because yeah, then,
like that second,
like the next morning, I woke up and I saw it, and I was like, "Oh my god, they want to do it!" Like I was like so excited.
Awesome.
Oh my god! But you know what's interesting that you're mentioning how, because you basically are doing the work of what other conferences and other spaces should be doing. It's intersectionality and like try to work with different voices, all for the same end, right? And one of the things that I noticed in terms of this year's drag cons is that every single article started with one of the
political panels. Yeah.
Yes. So that was the anchor to talk about the entire conference.
Yeah, I was really happy when I saw that your panel and the Teen Vogue panel and some of the other panels were really highlighted, opposed to just like the standard, like, you know, makeup or like the well present stuff, because those are all important. But it was also important that people really went to these panels and learned something and, you know, maybe started thinking a different way, you know?
Yeah.
And that was also important for me as far as like the show floor, you know? Mm-hmm. We talked a lot about like, we should get political organizations and cultural organizations on the show floor. And at first it was like, you know, the ones that stand out, like Planned Parenthood and, mm-hmm. you know, ACLU and things like that. But then I was like, wait, like how much free reign do I have here? Mm-hmm. Because if I have free reign, I'm like, I'm going to get, you know, like Julio. You know, I'm going to get Julio and I'm going to get, you know, whoever. Like I tried to get some other organizations that didn't end up working out, but you know, we got Why Vote there, which is really important, you know, educating young people on why they should vote. And we got the like Boyle Heights location to come out, which was really awesome. But yeah, it was exciting just to walk around and see so many people I knew who I feel like are really important and are like changing things up in our culture, you know.
Yeah, and we knew we were talking about it because we recorded a little bit with Julio there, and we're like, this is Rudy. Like, we are here.
Yeah, because of Rudy.
Yeah, there's Latinx representation because of Rudy, and that's I think that's super important.
Yeah, I mean, because for me too, it's important because, like, you know, I like my job, but I'm like a punk from in my soul, and like I need to fuck shit up anywhere I can, and I need to like I need to get people to think about shit and like and be inspired to create change in their community, you know.
Yeah,
that's so badass.
You know what would be awesome? I'm going to pitch you this idea right now. If we did a Latinx panel with the Latina queens that have been on Drag Race, but queens that are like really ready to talk about like how they feel they were represented on the show, because we always talk about this like the token Latinas that are on certain TV shows, and that happens on Drag Race sometimes, just to get everybody's like opinion on that, and like the Puerto Rico versus the Chicana drag queens,
LA.
Or like people like Delta Work who never identified as Mexican on the show, but you know, so it's like,
and James Field too. No, she's Latina.
James Mansfield.
But you know what I mean. Pues que se ponga un nombre latino para que me acuerde de ella.
But anyway, there's so much you can do. I mean, there's so many angles, because Drag Race just like opens up so many doors, because you know it's so subversive and in a way very punk rock, even though it's going very mainstream.
I mean,
right,
we had a panel last year that was drag is punk, you know, with Henry Rollins and Alice Bagg, and and it
that was
like,
you
yeah
that was you, obviously. That's awesome.
But
this is so interesting, because there's so many different topics that can be boarded. And what I like about what, because a lot of people are like, oh, you know, drag queens are getting commercial, but the fact that you have this show and this platform that you're working on to normalize drag queens, which is like fuck bending the idea of gender, it's so important. And that's something that we noticed in DragCon, that you have all these kids in line for hours of a dude dressed like a girl, you know? That's just so amazing. That would have never happened.
I mean, the first year of DragCon for me, I mean, I could blame it on exhaustion, but on my way home, I called my sister and I was like, oh my God, you, like, I did it. Like, it's over. And then I was like, you won't believe. And I started telling her about all these like little boys and girls with their moms there and how like free they were and how like comfortable they were to be themselves. And then me puse a llorar because I was just like,
it's important.
I can't believe that we are able to create this space for a weekend where kids can like just like not be afraid or like, or like encourage each other and meet other kids they know from the internet and to like put on some makeup and walk around with their mom and like, and these little girls who are empowered. Like, I remember there was this chubby little girl and she was like, do you know where, I forgot what queen she asked for. And I was like, oh yeah. And then she was like, you better work. And then she started like walking down, like she was on a runway and she's this little chubby girl. And I was just like, oh my God.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah. And so like, cool. That's kind of always where I'm like, I keep coming back for that.
We had a cool experience right after DragCon. We drove to meet Chicano Eats, shout out. And we nothing was open except for Applebee's.
Oh, yeah.
And we sat in Applebee's and we just wanted coffee because we were getting on the road back home. And this very, like, handsome, manly dude comes in and, you know, what do you guys want? He's our waiter, blah, 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 serving coffee. And he hears us talking about DragCon. He's like, my daughter loves that. And then it walks away and then comes back. It's like, oh, have you heard of this queen and this queen and this queen and this queen? Like, he became so excited about it. He was gave like, us free dessert.
Just for Katya, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Who the fuck are you?
Yeah, he went like, yeah, I understand to like fully engaging in this conversation about drag queens. But then we started thinking about it. It's like, wow, like these are conversations within families now. Mm-hmm. That's so, so badass.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
And so you're working right now for New York. You must be exhausted right now.
I am. I thought about it today because I'm like, because I had bought these tickets for Mariah like before I knew we were going to do New York. And so when they offered me New York, I was like, well, I have vacation in July. So like, you know, but I'm like checking my emails and my coordinator just texted me today and was like, stop checking your email.
Oh.
And, but then I was just thinking like, shit, I'm going to go back and then it's FYF weekend. And then I'm going to go back to work again and I have to fly to New York next week. But whatever, these are stupid, like first world problems, you know, like I'm like blessed to be able to do these things. And, you know, I'm here with my niece this week. So it's awesome that we get to share this experience together, go to Mariah and do all this stuff.
What's your niece's name?
Her name's Melinda Janae.
Shout out to Melinda.
And it, yeah, I mean, it's also kind of really cool that she's here during this podcast recording because my nieces and nephews, like they also like, they're like, for me, like my people always think they're my cousins or my siblings because we're close in age, but they've seen my journey of like, you know, growing up and doing all these things and then getting recognition. And so they get excited anytime like I'm in press or anything in LA. And then, and so for her to be here while we're doing this, you know, it's awesome and fun.
Yeah. Melinda was just telling us that she met Valentina.
Yes.
Cause you took her around and gave her the VIP access. So you were able to access Valentina. Many of us did not have that access. Yeah.
And we'll never have that access.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should invite her to do the podcast.
Oh my God, I couldn't do it.
Me neither.
She's too much. It's too much. I know, I can't see. I can't even talk. I couldn't do it.
Who are some of your dream guests for your podcast since you guys asked me about Scott?
Sasha Velour.
Aside from drag race.
Oh, drag queens? Oh, let's get into that.
Porque if you put it out there, then they come.
Café Tacuba is one of my goals. When we started the podcast, I said one of my goals for the podcast is to one day interview Café Tacuba because they're my...
Yeah. I would love to have a conversation with Cristela Alonso. Maria Hinojosa would be amazing.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many.
There's so many great people. Cristina. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. When you brought up like dreams of Café Tacuba, when I was young, when I was making zines, I was like... For some reason, I was like, the next step is to make a real magazine, you know? Mm. And I had the dream that I would put Morrissey and, ¿cómo se llama? The lead singer from Café Tacuba on the cover together. but I was going to have Morrissey, you know, in a mariachi outfit and him con las trenzas and everything.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Like, it was like my dream that I was going to get them to do the cover of my magazine, pero.
It's just, they've been part of my music landscape since I was 10.
Mm-hmm.
So just even thinking about talking, sitting down and talking to them makes me nervous. Like, me emociono.
I don't know. It's like when we were at DragCon and we walk into the fucking green room before the panels, and uh-huh. I was like, what the fuck?
We were frozen.
Because it's like Peppermint and Sasha and Milk were standing there, and I was like, dude, get me out of here.
And then Katya walks in, and that was it.
Katya walked in and just like started going through my notes, and I couldn't even say anything to her. I was just like, be cool. Don't have a heart attack right now. It was too much.
I was telling a friend, and she's like, what a wasted opportunity. I'm like, you don't understand.
What are we going to do? What are we going to say?
We were frozen. We're just like she's just looking through everything, and then we're looking at each other. And then our friend is taking pictures of our like crazy faces because we couldn't engage in conversation.
Yeah.
I know.
But because you work for World of Wonder and you produce DragCon,
mm-hmm.
You have access to some weird parties, I imagine, and people, have you ever been starstruck by anybody that you've met through your connections?
Not through work.
No.
No. I think more of my starstruck.
I mean, you stuff. Met us, obviously. Yes. Like, that was.
I mean, no, I was really excited to meet you guys. I was. I asked to take a picture, Keno.
That's you did. That made me feel nice. Thank you.
No, but I think because I live in LA,
yeah.
I get to see celebs more often, but. I met Morrissey when I was a teenager, and if you see that photo of us, I look like I'm about to burst.
Do you have that photo?
I do. It's on my Facebook.
Oh. Can we put it on our Instagram?
Sure.
We have to yes! put it on our Instagram. Yes! Oh, my God.
Cristel se va a cagar.
I look so dorky. I'm like, yeah. So that was, I think, a starstruck moment for me. I mean, there's more. I know there's more, pero. But I also get like really starstruck meeting like artists more than I do like famous mm-hmm. musicians and,
yeah.
and meeting people that I think are like movers and shakers culturally. Like when I met Joey Terrell for the first time, I had admired his work for years, and I would like go on his website and be like, okay, send him an email, and then I'm like, no, I don't have anything important to say, so this is a waste. Yeah. And then I just kept talking about him to people, and one day I was in San Francisco, and I had a happy hour that I would do, and then the bartender texts me, and she's like, some guy named Joey Terrell is here, and he's looking for you. And I was like, what the fuck? And I was like, can you just tell him, like, sorry, I'm not here, but please come back. I was in San Francisco. So then the next month happened to be my birthday. It was my actual birthday, and it was my birthday party at it was called Mixtape at the time. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden Joey Terrell walks up to me, and he's like, hi, Rudy? And I was like, yeah. He's like, I'm like, I know who you are. And then he's like, and I was like, can we go outside and talk? It's really loud in here. And I was like talking to him and like shaking and like, and then I was just like, you know, oh my God, Joey Terrell's at my birthday party, you know? And it's just like people
That's
like
so
that
awesome.
When I get to meet artists. And I've also been like really blessed to become friends with a lot of people because of the work that I do. And so I love to give people like that recognition, you know, like a lot of my friends when they're out and stuff. And I don't know, or like one of my really great friends is Martin Crudo from Los Crudos and Limprist, and I met him because I wrote him a letter when I was a teenager, and when he moved to LA, he wrote to me and was like, I'm in LA, we should meet and hang out. And I found the first letter he wrote me recently, and that was like 18-19 years ago. And now we're really great friends. It's insane. But like when we're in LA and we're walking around and I see kids, like we'll be eating sometimes and people will be like, what the fuck? What are you doing in LA? Like when he comes to visit. And it excites me to see that, you know. And a lot of my nephews were fans of his. And one year he came with me to my mom's house for carne asada for my birthday.
That's so awesome.
Because he kept being like, I want to eat your mom's cooking. So we went and we were there. And my nephew, who's straight, was there and is a big fan of Crudos and was just like, dude, Martin Crudo's at my fucking grandma's house.
Martin Crudo.
You know, and so.
Wow.
Yeah, things like that make me excited.
Have you met somebody where you're like, that's it?
Yeah.
Quien?
Anybody that I meet on TV for more than 15 minutes. Yeah. I mean, like when I used to really be into comedy. So like when I met like Maria Bamford.
Oh, you told me about that.
Who else have I met? I don't know. Like, and we're in Vegas, so we do have access to people here too.
Right.
So like when I met like Wayne Newton or like the Osmonds, like I like old shit like that. So like when I met Maria Osmond, I was like, oh my god. And she's like, what the fuck? Like nobody cares about me anymore. But she's just old school people like that. That's incredible.
Cool. Yeah. I'm the same way. Like the first, I'm so dorky. The first art history conference that I went, and everybody wears their badges, and I'm like, oh, Susan Dean Smith, like just all this random person that wrote one book, but that I use in my classes or whatever. I get nervous.
Yeah.
But it's exciting. I mean, I got really super, super excited and nervous, and I didn't know what to do when I met Emmanuel from Café Tacuba.
But it was. I thought you meant like Emmanuel.
Emmanuel, me too. That's what I thought. That's what I thought too. I was all like, whoa.
I would have been nervous too.
We used to have a 12-inch of Emmanuel as a kid, and I would just stare at it. It was just like his big face on the cover.
Oh my god!
For the longest time, people, when I was a kid, every time somebody asked me my name, everybody would be like, "Ay, como el cantante," and I'm like, "Yes."
You know who I would freak
Jesus
out?
Christ, Emmanuel.
If I were to meet Marco Antonio Solís,
¿te gustan los bookies?
Oh girl, you don't even know.
You need to come to my mom's house.
I always talk. No, I always talk about how I want to have a queer Bookies cover band.
That would be so good.
It's like my dream. I already have the set list.
Damn. Oh my god.
She's auditioning.
Here we go.
Am I in?
Yeah, you gotta get a mullet though. Yeah.
The thing is that my mother and my godfather, rest in peace, that's all they listened to.
Yeah.
I used to work in a shop that he owned.
Mm-hmm.
It is un taller de tornos. They make pieces for big, big machines in the factories in Juarez. And I will work there in the summers just cleaning. And for 3 months, 2 months straight, it was bookies all day long. My mom has a CD in her car of like, I'm going to say 200 Bookie songs. It's fucking crazy. And it's always on the fucking car. So every time I get in the car, it's Los Bookies.
I have my parents' Bookies like albums from when back in the day. And I still play them when I DJ and stuff. Like, I'm obsessed with Bookies.
The very old Bookies when he sounds like the Chipmunks. L'Eternidad. I just love the
whole costume get up and the keyboard. But that whole era of music too, you know, like I'm so into a lot of that stuff from
Los Yonix,
yes,
Los Bookies.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
They sound like indie bands from like 2005, but no, they're like from the 80s.
But you guys met Julieta, right?
Yeah.
For a second. Pero este güey ni se sabía su nombre.
I'm not into music like that, you guys. I'm sorry. I know. But
he arrives, he's like, Doña Julia.
You were shitting yourself.
I've seen her like 10 times.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen her before.
But you liked it.
Well, now I'm a fan. Okay. Yeah, that was incredible. But I met her first.
I saw her in Juarez in the 90s.
Uh-huh.
So I've been, her Buen Invento album was everything for me. And so when I met her, when Luis is like, oh yeah, we're going to go and meet and greet. And you're, ¿qué? I freaked out. And I was just like, I want to thank you for all your years of service. And I just love you. And I froze too, but I was...
Did you guys take a picture?
Yeah.
Yes, it's in our Instagram.
I was so jealous. I've seen her like so many times. I've cried at her shows and in my room. And a friend's band was opening for her. And we got to go and we were backstage. Y andaba yo right there like hanging out. I see her coming and I'm like, oh my God, this is my chance. And she was with Ceci Bastida y andaban hablando. And I was like, okay. And then they like get to us and then they just smile and nod and keep walking. And I just smile and nod and just like, and I was like, okay.
Like, that's good enough. You're going to take
good. Yeah. That's good. You respected their agency.
Yeah. I was like,
stupid.
But instead of me going up to, I went up to Julieta Venegas and I was like, me siento muy... muy excited. I was like, I'm just going to do the Selena thing. And then she just looked at me and she's like, qué lindo. And that was it. And we just took a picture.
That's amazing. So awesome.
Qué lindo. But see, sometimes it's better like that, just like a smile, because you get to meet them and you're like, wah, wah, wah.
That's true. RuPaul always says that, like, never meet your idols, because if they let you down... That's the worst.
If I get to talk to somebody from Café Tacuba and it's a letdown, It's gonna.
That's why I don't want to talk to
Bjork. It's gonna be sad.
Oh
again?
My God, Bjork. She's incredible. But even if she's mean to you, that's something. You
yeah.
know?
I don't know. I don't know if I could take it. Yeah. Like I don't know. I. Yeah.
We gotta see Bjork together. Like
yes. I'm so excited.
Okay. Oh my God, you guys are going. Oh well. By the time this comes out, you already have gone to FYF.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
Wasn't that fun, you guys? It was amazing. Bjork was incredible. Okay. Well, we have to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with some recommendations.
Yes.
Today's episode has been brought to you by the one and only original Lindo Michoy Can on East Desert Inn in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada.
¿Quiere carnitas? Sí, sí. ¿Quiere menudo? Sí, sí. ¿Quiere fideo? Sí, sí. Where do you go?
Lindo Michoacán.
Ouch.
On the east side, because the east side is the best side.
And the original one in Desert Inn.
In La Desert Inn. That's right. Let's say it one more time. Lindo Michoacán on East Desert Inn. And you know what?
¿Qué pasó?
They love Latinos Who Lunch so much, and we love them, that they are giving our listeners a 25% discount.
No mame, güey.
I'm not mame. I'm telling you the truth. 25% off.
Again, my mother gets her menudo on los domingos, so 4 domingos in a row, un free plato de menudo.
Lindo Michoacán, save water.
Drink margaritas.
And we're back.
Qué show. Ya repetiste los tacos?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. So, you guys got any recommendations, boys?
Yes, but I think we should let our guest absolutely start.
Okay. I'm going to recommend Sancha and her band and Sister Mantos. They're two LA bands. They're on tour right now. They mm-hmm. just started, so I don't know when this is going to broadcast, but they're on tour for like a month and a half, so oh, maybe cool. you'll see them.
Sweet. Are they coming here?
No, we'll I think they skipped Vegas. Porque ya están en Texas. But they're going to like Puerto Rico and then back to the East Coast. And
oh, cool.
Yeah. And Kraslos, DJ Kraslos. If you're in LA, go to any party that he's DJing.
Awesome. So say the name of the bands again.
Sancha, Sister Mantos, mm-hmm. and DJ Kraslos.
Done. Nice. I'll put all the links in a website.
Yes.
And continuing with this wave of downtown Latinx queer music, punkish, I want to recommend a band that has been around for a little bit, but they're about to release an album. The name of the band is Downtown Boys. They're badass, and they're about to release an album called Cost of Living, and that comes out August 11th. And actually, a single just came out a couple of weeks ago. The name of that song is Lips That Bite. I just listened to it, and it's pretty amazing. So again, the name of the band is Downtown Boys, and look out for their album in August 11, Cost of Living.
Nice. Uh-huh. You know what? I'm going to recommend music too because I'm cool.
Mírala.
I'm like really cool, you guys. So I just recently met somebody that's really awesome and also makes great music. But I also know that there's a lot of moms that listen to this podcast because, you know, we're low key, we're like Diaz, you know, on this show. But we also have a lot of crossovers from like Super Mamas podcast because they always true. Recommend us. So nice.
Some people put in their comments, it's like listening to my Diaz talk. Like, I've heard that a couple of times.
But because I know a lot of listeners have kids, shout out to Karina, to Maddie, to everybody we know.
Yes.
There's this band called Lucky Diaz and the Familia.
Órale.
And he does really cool music for kids. And he's a Chicano, so his music is like Chicano-centric. There's a song called El Paletero that's really awesome.
That's awesome.
And then
El Conchero.
El Conchero. Oh, and then El Michalero. And then he has a song called Piñata Attack that's awesome. And we found each other through the internet and people. And I think we're going to be working on some projects together because...
So cool.
I mean, a lot of my artwork is about kind of childhood and I think it would be a cool fit. So
yeah.
Lucky Diaz and the Familia.
Where are they from?
They're in LA.
Ah, yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
Can otro.
Yes.
Otra. Otra. Quiere llorar. Quiere llorar.
Otrex.
No, I want to also give a shout out and recommend Causa. They're a new like hardcore all queer, all Chicano punk band from LA, and they just put out a cassette, and they're really amazing. They like blew my mind the first time I saw them, and check it out.
It's a strong movement in LA, but also in South Texas.
Yeah,
there was an article in Pitchfork about Latinx punk bands that are coming from that area. So check it out, everybody. I'll post the links in the website. I always say that, and when I'm putting them together, I'm like, God damn it, why did I say that?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, Rudy Blue.
Thank you.
No, thank you so much. And from the bottom of my heart, thanks for giving us this opportunity and for being a cultural producer, right? Because that's what you're really doing, a cultural curator and connecting all these people together. Because I feel like when I went to LA, everybody knew who you were because you're doing all these events and doing all this badass stuff. So thank you for not only supporting our podcast, but being on it. Now you're part of the Latinos Who Lunch family.
Familia.
Yeah, yes. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you very much. And you guys have fun at... You can have fun at Mariah. It's going to be great.
I can't wait.
But we're going to have so much fun with Bjork and Solange.
Oh, yes.
I'll give you this evening.
See, we get to hang out tonight, and then we get to hang out this weekend.
Yeah, that's right. So maybe the next episode will be us recounting those events.
Let's do
that. And then you guys are going to come host Scum one time.
Absolutely. Let's DJ Favi Fav on the tables, right? I'm really cool, guys.
El doitor.
I want you guys to come host my birthday.
Pues ni con la pena.
Okay, right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And as always, you can find us at latinoswholunch.com. Please email us at latinoswholunch@gmail.com. We're going to do a listener letters episode soon. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all of that bullshit. And then you can also go on iTunes. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, Spotify, everywhere except for SoundCloud because it's trash. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a review. The more reviews we have, the better.
Visibility is...
Fuck, I'm so out of it. Okay, hold on. Let me do it again. And if you're on iTunes, please leave us a review. 5 stars.
5 stars only.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And visibility is...
essential.
I'm Favi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
Bye.
Ciao, ciao, ciao.